to UK Rifter's Virtual Reality Podcast. This is episode 4, and in this episode I will be interviewing Mark Ledson about his new title, Jake and the Giant. I'm also going to be discussing the impact of virtual reality on tourism. But first, a very important question from Vivian.
What kind of tea do you like?
Well, Vivian, yet again, it's another staggeringly pertinent question, a question that everybody wants to know the answer to. Generally speaking, British people, although we are fanatical about tea, we just drink tea. We refer to it as tea, and tea is, you know, effectively, I believe it's black tea. Everywhere else in the world calls it English breakfast tea. We just call it tea. I mean, it's not that we are unaware of the fact that there's, you know, oolong and, you know, all these other fancy teas out there, but generally speaking, apart from possibly Earl Grey, most people just drink tea. You buy it from a shop, it's called tea. Right, so I'm here today with Mark Ledson from Moonshine Games. And Mark has been working on VR titles for many years, and his current title is Jake and the Giant. So, Mark, do you want to tell me a bit about it?
Yeah, it's basically, like you just said, the title, Jake and the Giant. It's a VR game that plays on the Oculus Rift and at the PC at the same time. So the viewpoint of the giant is through the Oculus, and the viewpoint of Jake, the character, is on the screen itself on the PC. So Jake's sort of goal in each room that it's set in, each level room, whatever it is, he's got to collect three chests of gold. And then once he's collected all three, he can exit the room. So once he's done that, he's done. It unlocks to another level. So it opens up that way. So I've got five sort of rooms or levels sort of thing at the moment. Thinking of keeping it at five because the way it plays, you can hide in so many different places. So each game plays differently. So it sort of works out like that in a way where I didn't want to overdo the levels, like 10 levels or something like that. Just so I concentrate on the five. But just make lots of places to hide.
I think that's a really good idea because I think you need lots of levels and you need lots of content when it comes to like single player games and even multiplayer games. But what you've got there is what I believe they call asymmetrical gameplay. It's a bit like the old what they call couch co-op or couch gameplay. You know, you're actually playing with someone in the room, which is pretty rare nowadays.
Yeah, well, it's like with having four little ones, it's like that's what I want that myself sort of thing to play sort of thing. So instead of, because there's multiplayer games where we can play online and you can play others around the world and things like that, but we're not all together here in the same room. And I think it sort of started a few years back. We played a game called Lucas Ridge where the viewpoint of the guy in the VR, that was just sort of, the others were hiding on sort of in boxes, if I remember rightly. And they were just ace to play with the kids though, because you can hear them, like, I've got the headset on, you can hear them screaming, like, oh, he's nearly got me. It's that what I like. And that's what I've tried to do with this, like with Jake and the Giant, is basically bring that sort of old feeling back of like the hide and seek, where we play it most weekends, like in the house, just playing around with the kids sort of thing. Like, I remember once I was under the bed for about 20 minutes hiding.
It's nice, isn't it? Because I've got three boys of my own and I often play hide and seek with them, and you think, I've got an awesome hiding place here, I'll just stay there, check my emails.
I'm just going to stay there, just do a bit of Twitter, a bit of peace time. it's all about the basic idea of the hide and seek, which has sort of elevated this game into what it is now. And it's like I say, there's, and the giant's job is to stop him. That's it. Just to basically to have his tea. Jake's going to be his tea.
I like it. So, I mean, this is why it appeals to me so much, because you know what they say, like the necessity is the mother of all invention. And you've come up with this idea because
you know how enjoyable that is to play with your own kids. And
yeah.
I just think, when I see this title, I just think, oh God, this will be so much fun to play with my kids. And I'm not saying it's limited to only your kids, of course not. But if you're a dad and you've got VR, this is a no-brainer. Like, you know, this is so appealing.
Because that's what I mean. It's not just limited. It's whoever likes. Everyone likes hide and seek. So,
but you do. You never grow
it's
out.
It's just no. It's one of them with like with the kids. You've got the extra screaming and stuff, and it just it's like when I've been testing it because they're my little testers. So when I've been testing it with them, it's great because the other three, whoever's not playing, the other three are trying to trick me as well. Saying like, oh, he's over there. Oh, he's when he's blatantly not, he's hiding above me or something. And it's like they're all getting involved. So it's not just a player; it's who's watching it as well. They seem to be getting involved as well, and I love that because it means we're all together playing it like one game sort of thing. Which it is. It's a cool feeling. Like when they come sort of thing at the weekends, and we do test it. It's just cool. It's just really
that's
cool
great.
Playing with them.
I'm very much looking forward to it. When do you think you'll have it finished? I'm not rushing you, of course.
No. I'm looking for sort of the end of October because I'm going to hopefully get it released on Steam or through Oculus itself on their store. But I'm trying to, it's like literally, because I've got a full-time job as well. So at the evenings, I'm just sort of juggling and any spare time, it's just going on it. It's like I just tweaking a bit of this, doing a bit of that. Because that's where like the actual giant's weapon, he's got a crossbow which shoots arrows like on his right, on your right hand. Mm. And on your left hand, I noticed when we did a test one weekend, it was quite funny because we were doing the test and Jake, like my lad, who's also the name of the title as well, but he just started taking the mick out of me. And he was hiding on the table behind some pots or something I'd put on the table, and he was hiding on the table and he was just jumping up and down, and I couldn't shoot him because that's all down to testing and things like that. So it was like, right, I need to sort of stop him or some sort of something. So that's where in the left hand now you've got like a magic wand where it shoots like a sort of a dome that goes around and it stops him for a couple of seconds. It's about 4 seconds or so, but it's enough to sort of
freeze
slow him down a bit. Yeah, just it's like a freeze wand. So it's enough to slow him down and then I can shoot him.
So you're just trying to at this stage get the gameplay right and get the balance right between the two
characters. Yeah, there's a lot of tweaking still because it's just certain aspects, like it's things that you don't actually sort of when someone else plays or I'm playing it myself and it's I'm testing it. When someone else gets on it and they do something unexpected. And it's like, oh, didn't think of that, did I?
Well, in an open environment like you've created, it's going to be quite difficult to find all the potential.
There's going to be
bugs.
Yeah. I think even after release, I'm going to be updating it and sort of just watching and getting any feedback possible, sort of just to make the game better or anything. Because I just think it's a really good idea.
A great idea. Yeah. I'm gonna switch gears on a little bit. So you've been around for a good long while with Moonshine Games and developing VR titles, and it was you that reminded me that actually probably one of my very first reviews, or at least one of my first sort of 10 or 20 reviews, was something you created. I think it was a turret game where you had to fight against UFOs.
Yeah. Well, that's it's like yourself and I think Greg back then, the DK1 days. I just love the idea of VR. I do. I think it needs pushing. It needs got sort of developing further. But even back in those days, there were ideas like being thrown around that were just ace. They were just like really cool. Like VR in general, it is a really cool thing. But like I said, that Turret Commander, what else did I do back then? The Watcher. I enjoyed that one.
Watcher was you as well. Bloody hell. Yeah. That was great. I really liked The Watcher. I didn't realise that was you. I totally forgot.
The Watcher, it's sort of, that's the sort of granddaddy of this, like Jake and the Giant. Same sort of where I was going to do an update for The Watcher, which The Watcher character was sort of the VR instead of the other way around and have it multiplayer. So that did sort of originally back in sort of, I think, started Jake and the Giant. at the end of last year. So, right. But yeah, it's I just love working in VR. Do you know, like, sort of just testing something, putting something in, and then going putting your helmet on
and playing with it. Yeah.
Just, yeah, you're straight on in. It's just ace.
I did it in the early days. You see, I've sort of moved away from being a developer, and I now just play everyone else's titles, which is really lazy. But in the DK1 days, I used to play with Unity, and I agree, it was so lovely. You know, to create a landscape, put something into that landscape, jump in, look around.
Completely basic, anything. But it would just feel like the actual immersion of it all. And it's still that to me now. It's still like, I put it on and it's like, oh, this is still just cool. And it's going to get better.
Yeah, it's going to get better. That's the great thing. Well, Mark, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me today. And well, I'm very much looking forward to your game. And I know my kids are too. I've already told them about it. And they're very cool. Interested in that concept. And I think you'll hit a chord, certainly with dads. And let's face it, a lot of VR fanatics out there are family men, because we're the only people that can actually afford VR headsets.
Oh, yeah.
So you might be onto a winner there, and I hope you are. So,
no problem. Thank you very much for having us.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Ta-da. Bye-bye.
So it's Sunday morning. The skies are blue and the sun is just rising. I'm sat in the shed at the bottom of my garden. I was thinking the other day, talking with Penny, about what we should do with the family holiday next year. Now, if you've not been living in a cave on Mars, then you may know that Brexit's going to be kicking in March next year, and that has some possibly negative impacts on travelling abroad. No one really knows, to be honest, but it's putting people off travelling. And I got thinking about an article I wrote a couple of years ago around the subject of VR travel, and if this is still relevant today. The story went like this. While travelling in America, I decided to get up one morning and staying in Phoenix. And Phoenix is about an hour and a half drive away from the Grand Canyon, and I'd never seen the Grand Canyon before. So I thought, great, great opportunity. So it was a spring morning. I got up. It was warm. It was like 22 degrees early in the morning. So I had my T-shirt on and I thought, you know what, let's just do this. So I jumped in the car, bottle of water, T-shirt on, started driving out of Phoenix towards the Grand Canyon. Now, if you know the geography of the area, basically Phoenix is right at the bottom of this valley, and I climbed out of the valley up this through the mountain range up towards the Grand Canyon, and you drive for what seems like 20 miles straight up. It is crazy. As I climbed and climbed and climbed, the ground got icy, and then a few flakes of snow were seen, and then a little bit later it was about 2 foot deep, and I'm still in my t-shirt thinking this might have been a mistake. I passed a couple of overturned cars. I got stuck in traffic. My car started acting weird. And then I realized I might actually die. I got within about, I'd say 200 yards of the Grand Canyon. But the little last route was so deep in snow that, of course, I couldn't walk it. I couldn't get my car down there. So I almost made it. Then I turned around and I drove all the way back. And then reached sunny Phoenix, got out of the car, t-shirt weather, and wondered, you know, how stupid can someone be? But there you go. When I got back to the UK, I felt kind of sad about that. You know, I almost made it to one of the most beautiful views, one of the most beautiful areas on the planet, and I didn't quite do it. And it felt like, and it still feels like, a missed opportunity. So there's a VR title available. I forget what it's called, but effectively gives you a view of the Grand Canyon. And so I loaded up the old VR and I stood and I looked at the Grand Canyon. I went through parts of the Grand Canyon and I thought, wow, this is actually really cool. I feel like I've seen it. I feel like I've been there. And then I thought, is this a dystopian view of the future? Will travel itself become that of the privileged, that perhaps the lower classes in society will be limited to virtual reality, that virtual reality, rather than a toy for rich kids right now, let's face it, it's expensive to get into. Perhaps in the future, VR will be something that the masses use for general entertainment, for travel, for communication, for education. It becomes a tool for the masses, and it leaves reality the domain of the wealthy. Now, is this really a science fiction dystopian view that will never really take place? I don't know. Perhaps that's an exaggerated view. But I do feel that there are areas of the world that are difficult to reach, that people will not be able to reach on their own means if they can't afford it. And virtual reality will be the only way that they'll ever get close to being in those locations. So in some respects, already we see a situation where only the wealthiest people can see parts of this world. And I wonder if that will get worse. Worth thinking about. Let me know. Drop me an email, ukrifter@gmail.com. Or install the Anchor app and you can ask me a question or respond to this segment. I'd be very pleased to hear from you. Thank you for tuning in to this fourth episode of UK Rifter's Virtual Reality Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Now, if you have a question, you can drop me an email, ukrifter@gmail.com. You can chat with me on Twitter, @UKRift. Or you can install the Anchor app and ask me a question and be part of the show. Anyway, thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.